welcome to the May 24th.
Good morning and welcome to the May 24th meeting of the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Here.
Commissioner Moultari?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Chairman Harrison?
Here. Would you all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we are going to open it for public comment. At this time, anyone from the public that would like to address anything that's not on the agenda today may do so. Please fill out a form, bring it up, and give it to the secretary, and then you'll have 3 minutes. We do not have any requests for public comment, so therefore I'm going to close public comment and bring it back for commission business. And the planning staff update would be the first item.
Good morning, Karen Nall with planning staff. I'm just looking ahead to your next couple meetings. We do have a couple items on 614, People's Self-Help Project in Templeton and a LUO ordinance cleanup. Then on June 28th, we have two cell sites. And then we have officially canceled the July 12th meeting. Then 7:26. So far, we only have one item, but I'm hearing some rumors that there'll be a few more items put on that agenda.
Do you have any idea when the hotel in the Pomo is coming back to the commission or what the status of that is?
That has been moved off the agenda indefinitely. There's no, the last time we checked with that applicant, they had no plans to move that forward.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other commissioners have a question of planning? Staff? Consent agenda. Does anyone want to pull any item from the consent agenda? Any comments on the consent agenda? Looking for a motion for consent agenda?
I so move.
Oh, go ahead.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment? Call for the motion.
Commissioner Brown?
We're voting on it.
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. So our next item of business, would you like to introduce it, Ramona? Please.
Hearing item number 4 is a hearing to consider a request by O'Neill Vintners and Distillers to allow for a modification of their previously approved conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2017-00072. Supervisorial District Number 1, Project Manager Holly Fitt.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. Holly Fitts, Project Manager. Before us today is a request by O'Neill Vintners and Distillers to allow a modification of their previously approved conditional use permit to allow the remodel of the winery's visitor serving use and administrative use areas to include the following: remodel of a 7,552 square foot portion of an existing winery hospitality building to allow a 3,825 square foot restaurant, a 2,096 square foot members lounge that's going to be remodeled, a 1,052 square foot distillery processing area that's limited to grape based spirits, a 380 square foot distillery tasting room, interior remodel of the existing 2,800 square foot tasting room, and a minor addition for a new restroom, grading and new landscaping to accommodate the reconfiguration of visitor access and parking areas, and they would like to add two new modular offices totaling 1,344 square feet. The project also includes modification of ordinance standards that limits a restaurant to 800 square feet to allow a 3,825 square foot restaurant. This square footage includes a 1,660 square foot kitchen, 1,388 square foot indoor seating area, and 777 square feet of outdoor seating area. Modification of the ordinance standards to allow a restaurant to operate beyond tasting room hours to 9 p.m., 7 days per week, and a modification of ordinance standards limiting a winery to one tasting room to allow a 380 square foot second tasting room for distilled spirits. The land use ordinance allows modification to land use standards if specific findings can be made that the ordinance is unnecessary or ineffective. Modification of the land use ordinance standard limiting a restaurant to 800 square feet to allow a 3,825 square feet is justified because no new construction or access improvements to Highway 46 is required per Caltrans. The restaurant will be incidental to the primary use on site, which is the approximate 33,000 square foot wine processing facility that includes 20,000 square feet of outdoor wine production processing areas, the 10 acres on site for vineyards, and over 50 acres of vineyards planted on the adjacent parcel. The project site has direct access to a major serving corridor, Highway 46 East. The project is located adjacent to Paso Robles city limits, and the winery is surrounded by other visitor uses, including the Vina Robles Winery and Amphitheater, Michela Winery, Hunter Ranch Golf Course, the Wine Country RV Resort, and the Ravine Water Park. These surrounding uses would not be impacted by extending the hours beyond the tasting room hours. Modification of the ordinance standards limiting a winery to one tasting room to allow a second tasting room for distilled spirit is also justified because the production of distilled products falls under food and beverage definition, and there are no regulations on tasting rooms. The distilled spirit tasting room is clearly accessory use to the wine processing facility and will utilize the same parking areas, restrooms that serve the existing winery facility. Therefore, the strict application of the ordinance standards in this case is unnecessary. The proposed project is located on the south side of Mill Road, approximately 240 feet south of Highway 46, and is located adjacent to the city limits of Paso Robles. The proposed project is located within the agricultural land use category and is located in the airport review area. The site is in the El Pomar Australia sub-area of the North County planning area. In your previous meeting, when we discussed restaurants, a conditional use permit is required when restaurants are proposed in non-commercial categories per the Land Use Ordinance Table 2.2. Just a quick look at the 21-acre project site, Highway 46, Mill Road, and the existing driveway entrance. The project was originally received and had approval of conditional use permit in 1999 to construct the existing wine production facility and tasting room. The land use permit approved a 13,125 square foot winery building, 2,300 square foot tasting room, a 2,300 square foot multi-purpose room with a 935 square foot kitchen, a approximately 17,000 underground wine cellar with a 1,600 banquet room and 5,800 square feet of administrative offices. These facilities have been constructed and in operation since 2001. In 2002, a subsequent conditional use permit augmenting their special event program was approved and authorized the following: up to 24 annual special events, with some events allowed up to 600 guests and 12 winemaker dinners. The property was recently purchased by O'Neill Vintners and Distillers. And here's what Robert Hall looks like today. This is when you drive up and you've got the huge parking area and the water fountain and the hospitality building that we're looking at. The wine production building is behind that building. The proposed site plan showing the new driveway alignment and parking area. Modular offices would be in the back. parking area to be removed. Total parking required for the project is 110 spaces, and they have proposed 110 spaces. Total area of acreage removed is 1.3 acres. The existing floor plan, from the front view when you were looking at Robert Hall Winery, we have the tasting room over here, and then the open breezeway, and then we have the members' lounge, and the existing kitchen, which is quite large already, with the storage space that goes down here. All this area up in here is all the administrative office areas and then work area. So with the new proposed floor plan, again, we're still having the tasting room over here, and then we've added a women's restroom, or men's restroom, and reconfigured some space here for a larger women's restroom and utility closet. And then, again, we still have a members' lounge, and then the kitchen will all be in this area. The walls have been moved back a little bit so that they can now have the distillery still in this location here. And then this distillery support equipment. The tasting room for the distillery is located in the restaurant seating area. Here we have the outdoor seating area for the restaurant. And just a quick look at the elevations of what the facility looks like and the proposed landscaping plan. And proposed view from Highway 46. You can see the realignment of the driveway and the current driveway here from the existing view from Highway 46. With that, staff is recommending approval of conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Staff is available for questions.
Is there any questions from the commission? Mr. Moultrie?
Not a question, but before we get started, I just want to say when I did my site visit, I did encounter a couple of staff people there who helped me orient on the site, and I just wanted to mention that as an ex parte.
I also did.
Go ahead.
I did a drive-through.
And I've known this winery since it was built, so I've been there dozens of times and very familiar with it.
Any other comments for the commissioner?
No, I too have did a drive-through this week. I go by there, well, this week three times, to and from project site, and I really think that the proposed driveway is a nice alternative to how that all comes in right there off of 46.
I've been there once or twice.
Come back more.
Okay. Is there any other questions from the commission for planning staff? Okay, then you're representing the applicant?
I am. Good morning. Jamie Jones. I'm happy to be here to represent O'Neill Vintners and Distillers. So good morning, commission. I will keep my presentation brief as Ms. Phipps did an excellent job giving an overview of our project. I did want to give you an aerial kind of context of what's going on around this property. We're adjacent. You can see that red dotted line is the urban reserve line of the city of Paso Robles, and our property is the red dot. So the property was brought into the sphere of influence in the city of Paso Robles. I think we did that in 2013, looking at potential future annexation sometime probably in the next 10 years. Adjacent uses include the Barney Schwartz Park, the Ravine Water Park, the Vines RV Park, Vina Robles Amphitheater, the golf course. There's a lot of visitor-serving uses that are happening in this area, and I know that we are working on some other projects within the city of Paso Robles to kind of enhance, and this eastern edge of Paso Robles becoming family-oriented recreation. Mr. Butterfield has bought some property across the street, so looking at doing some things. And so what the O'Neills have before you today, I think, ties into what they want to do with the vision of the property and what we're seeing within the projects in this area in the city of Paso Robles. This slide shows the existing hospitality room. I highlighted in red the subterranean storage, the caves, because that obviously you can't see that from above, but we've got the subterranean storage and the production. That's showing how much wine production is area is devoted to wine production on the site. The project is really a refresh of the property. It was owned by the Hall family for 20 years, and with the unfortunate passing of Mr. Hall several years ago, the family looked to sell the property, and we're happy to have the O'Neills as the owners. They're bringing their experience as being they own some other wineries in the area, so they've been wanting to get into the Paso Robles wine area for a long time, so they're happy to be here as well. And looking at using the existing buildings and just transitioning uses, as well as some site modifications that, as Commissioner Legg said, I think enhances circulation on the site. So we'll be doing interior remodel of the hospitality room, tasting room. Use stays the same, just some interior, exterior upgrades. The member lounge use stays the same. We'll be doing some things outside. The outdoor patio, that fountain will go away, so we'll no longer have the fountain on the site, and look at incorporating drought-tolerant landscaping. The kitchen area will be remodeled, and the administration and conference area converted to the restaurant and distillery use. This slide highlights the areas that would be devoted to the restaurant use. The kitchen will still be used for the event component and serving as a catering kitchen for events as well. And the distillery with the second tasting room, I think we went over this at length at the last hearing. We need to have separation with the distilling tasting based on the ABC requirements. So we've created that separation. And at the end of the day, really what's changing is I'm converting the administration area to the restaurant seating area. And I think this is one of the bigger changes that I think will benefit other people that are coming onto Mill Road, is just reorienting the access and providing through access for the visitors. So whenever they come in off of Mill Road, they can come in and park, ample parking. It's going to be much more parking than there today. And then they can either go back on to Mill Road where they came in, or circulate out. Right now, whenever you look, if you're coming back to the production room, you have to come down Michello Way. And if you're coming in for tasting, you have to come off of Mill. So this gives some options for access. And what it also does, I think my view whenever I go out there, is that concrete and the way that driveway is set up, it's a little bit stark whenever you're looking at it. So it will meander and with the landscaping, it will provide a much more natural transition up to the winery. And two minor additions to add some restroom facilities and modular buildings. And we are requesting the ordinance standards, which Holly went through at length in her presentation. And the why, I think we talked about this last time. You'll be seeing this, probably more of these projects in the future. A lot of the wineries are looking at remodeling, adapting to what the customer needs are today. Customers want to have food. They want to have more activities. We want to keep them on the property longer because we want to get them into the wine club and they want to sell wine. So I think this is the trend in the wine industry, these undercurrent current economy, and again, trying to make that direct-to-consumer transaction and getting people in to taste and buy the wine. And then as we see distilling adding being incorporated into the wineries, we need to keep that separation with the with the tasting rooms. And with that concludes the applicant's presentation. I am obviously here to answer some questions. We have Breck O'Neill, the ownership, in the audience, as well as Christy Gabler from North Coast Engineering, to answer any questions on grading and drainage, and Heather Wiebe from Aris Studios for architecture. And then we also have their director of marketing here as well, marketing and hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any commissioner have any questions? Comments?
Yes. My question has to do with traffic on Mill Road.
This is not public hearing. This is
okay. I'll hold my question till we're in.
Discussion. Okay. Then if there isn't any more questions for the applicant, then I will open it to public hearing for public comment. But I don't have any requests for public comment. So if anyone has any comment from the public that'd like to talk about this project, come forward, fill out a form. If not, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back to the board, and ask the board for comments or questions.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with traffic on Mill Road in and out of Highway 46. And judging from the what looks to be the ratio of intensity on the site from the increase in parking and the increase in the restaurant square footage, it would appear that, you know, they're expecting maybe 5-6 times the number of people, and I guess that would then translate to cars. So I wonder if maybe Public Works would comment on that intersection specifically during the Vina Robles type events. You know, what's that going to look like? I've heard Vina Robles really has an impact on that road, and so we're adding, I don't know how many cars that would amount to, but 5 or 6 more times the number of cars that are used right now to this facility. So,
Edward Reading, Public Works. Mill Road is a city-maintained road, and Highway 46 is a Caltrans road, obviously. The county has deferred to them for comments on this aspect. And Caltrans seemed to think that there would be minimal new trip generations per this change.
Well, I don't know how that could be. I mean, they're
perhaps we could have the applicant's engineer speak to that, or Jamie.
Probably not.
I'll try to answer the question, not being an engineer, but having worked on the project description and worked with Caltrans and the restaurant use. So whenever we're looking at wineries and adding the restaurant use, the real intent is that restaurant use is going to be serving a lot of the existing customers that are coming there already. It might attract some more people for tasting rooms, but we don't see that exponential increase of 5 times the trips based on experience from other wineries. And example, Niner Winery that incorporated a similar proposal. So it's really providing added services to the customers that are going. With the Vina Robles, what Vina Robles has done, it's new this year for the concert series, and because there were some long backups at Highway 46, is they worked with Public Works, and they, I don't think they had to coordinate with City of Paso, but Public Works, Cal Fire, and they have a second access out now. So whenever you're coming out of Vina Robles, you can go east and come back in and connect into the city with Union. Personal experience of being to the first two activities at Vina Robles this year is the traffic circulation was exponentially better. It took us 10 minutes to get out when years before it took 2 hours. So we've seen a big improvement there. With the restaurant use occurring during if we are open after hours during the Vina Robles concerts, the intent would be it would provide a restaurant opportunity for those people that are already coming to the concert, and wouldn't be an additive, it would be a capture. And we did coordinate with Caltrans, and the project was referred to the city. The city did have some questions about traffic. So we coordinated with Caltrans. They sent some comments over at Caltrans. And Caltrans' response, as the responsible agency, was that based on the improvements there, the added traffic wouldn't warrant a light. And because we do have merge lanes and acceleration and deceleration lanes, that the existing improvements were sufficient.
Okay, certainly, you know, defer to Caltrans, but it does bother me that there's no traffic study at this intersection. Just in the parking, you're increasing your parking by that similar kind of a ratio, I believe.
And the reason for the increase in the parking, I don't know that we would have increased the parking as much as we did, but we were doing a strict application of the land use ordinance requirements for parking. And if we were, the parking requirements for restaurants, you have a parking requirement for your kitchen area, your customer area, and then those combine add another parking space requirement. So parking, the land use ordinance requirements for parking are pretty significant. And so we designed the project to exactly comply with doing the math of what the ordinance required. I think that the O'Neills would be ecstatic if there were 110 cars in that parking lot every day, but the reality is that parking lot being designed to the 110 spaces meets the ordinance requirement. And what it also does is for the event program, right now, some of that parking, overflow parking for events is on an adjacent parcel that they own, the parcel directly to the east. And also there's some event overflow parking that's in the rear by the irrigation reservoir. And that will that parking will no longer be required because we can accommodate the event overflow parking and everything within the parking that you're seeing on your site plan.
Okay, so just compare the amount of parking you have right now to what's proposed total.
I did start to count the parking spaces last night, but I don't. I think there's probably about, I want to say 56 or so. Christy, you don't know. I would say around 60.
60. And
yeah.
What will it be after the project?
110. Which is the ordinance requirement.
Okay.
And that takes into consideration it's about two acres of overflow parking that we have spread throughout for the event. So we'll be able to keep that all right there on site and not put the event parking over in the vineyard.
Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner Brown, I have a follow-up comment for what you know, because it occurred to me that this is, let me start by saying, I agree with staff's analysis that this is an okay location for a restaurant. But I don't think that there will be no impact from traffic. The city is concerned, and then Caltrans in their letter wrote, notes that an adopted corridor system management plan and local development fees are in place to address this concern and provide a funding plan to develop the necessary road infrastructures and that all projects should contribute their fair share to address this. And this is a question for staff, whether it's Public Works or Holly. Is there a corridor system management plan? And do we have a fee?
I'll defer to Public Works.
I'm not aware of that. I can't answer that question right now.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that's kind of a critical thing. Here, you know, the traffic will increase by some amount, and it would be unrealistic and unfair to have the burden of the infrastructure in any way related to this one little project. But on the other hand, some fair share contribution to the ultimate solution would make sense. And I'm kind of, I'm asking, is there any thought about how that would be translated into a condition? Do we not have those? How was Caltrans' comment addressed, I guess? Because the notion that Caltrans didn't care is not exactly right.
I agree. Is the problem kind of the sort of no man's land between county and city? Is that what we're talking about? I mean, as far as traffic studies.
Well, Public Works has no jurisdiction on the city or state roads, so it doesn't really affect our roads directly.
But the overall picture, you know, could be affected, and so I just don't know who's responsible or who should be looking at this.
Thank you, Ramona. In the past, in projects in the sphere of the city of Paso Robles, we have conditioned projects to pay road fees directly to the city of Paso Robles. I don't know if Holly has the previous
Could Holly check the previous project for Robert Hall and see if they have paid road fees in the past? I don't know the time frame on when those fees were assessed, but if she had the previous project, or we could kind of look into that.
Yeah, we can look that up.
Yeah, apart from the traffic question, I think the analysis of the location, the incremental increase in activity all makes sense in this location. I'm fine with that. But it seems that making left-hand turns on Highway 46 is pretty dangerous. And we're extending the hours beyond when the winery is open, and it's not just going to be when there's Vina Robles events going on. So it seems like this is something that at least should be thought about.
I'll need additional time to look up that previous conditional use permit.
I think that, you know, the concerns on Highway 46 safety are important, and in regards to the Caltrans oversight, you know, it's kind of difficult, and it'll be interesting to see what the fees were. But in addition, I do think this is an improvement, actually, because it's actually, you know, the way it comes out through the going into the new road access. What I would think is that maybe just some safety signage for Vina Robles and that coming together, should there be a concert leaving or coming or something, you know, that just the awareness for the drivers, not that they don't all know, but it's just good to remind drivers of safety issues when you have new activity, new access. Vina Robles people aren't going to be used to this. But I'm hoping that somewhere down the line we do have a better intersection there overall. But I do think it's great because of all the activities across the Highway 46, so there will be people coming from the campgrounds, et cetera. But I think the timing for the restaurant-wise, I think you're actually missing some of the higher volume pieces, so people can kind of hide out in there. And then when everybody comes into the concert, then they can leave in a sense. So I'm not as concerned about that. I'd just be interested to see what has been invested so far in that intersection.
So the question is, if the commission is interested in pursuing the impact fees, do we need to continue this item, or can we do it now? What's the next move?
Maybe there's a condition that's been applied that we can build off of today.
Yes, well, that is a question.
What I think we ought to do is look at the fact that this may, in fact, be reducing the traffic at 41 because of the new entrance, and what she was talking about is the traffic going out, coming around, and coming in somewhere else in the Paso Robles. And also, her contention is, which I don't know what it's based on, whether it was a traffic study or not, is that they're not going to be that much more traffic than is there now. And with not that much more, not any more traffic there, they're going to have a better place to park. And some of them are going to be leaving in a different way. So is this going to impact this intersection or not is the question.
Yeah, that is the question. And we don't have facts. And that's a little disappointing. Highway 46 is such an impacted area and dangerous, especially for those left-hand turns. So I'd want to be quantitative about what we're approving and looking at that intersection, not just, well, it shouldn't be this or shouldn't be that. We need to know what we're talking about in terms of numbers.
Staff, I wonder if how close you are, and then maybe you want to table this item, take the next one, and then come back if you're going to work on this condition? Because I really don't want to continue it if we can have a solution today. But if we have to, we have to.
I'll make a couple of comments at this point. I've lived in that area for 55 years, and Caltrans, I think, are living with the fact now that they've done a heck of a lot of improvements with their ingress and the lanes in and out. I make that left turn various times at night from Vina Robles or from this winery. Basically, have not had a major problem. There's a very popular lunchroom at Hunter Ranch. That's a left turn also. Frankly, all the accidents have happened have been out to Schlamm Junction, and I don't remember any happening in this area at all, if you look at the statistics. So I'm comfortable, like Ms. Ortig-Legge says, with what we have here. This has been a popular winery for 20 years. Never have had a problem that I know of, and I live there. So that's my statement.
And I would, just having been out to the site, having been, and understanding Mr. Brown, I'm not a traffic engineer, and I don't have the exact traffic data to give you for what the increase in traffic would be. We weren't required to do a traffic study for this particular project. The other limited food serving restaurant facilities that we have added to our winery facilities in the past, when the traffic engineers have looked at those, they have looked at that as being a capture of trips, and that you're capturing your existing customers, and that the additive of the trips was inconsequential in the fact that we weren't adding hundreds of trips a day by having a place for people to sit down and eat a meal while they're already visiting the tasting room.
But you're extending the hours beyond the tasting room, so you're obviously trying to capture customers that aren't really just going for one or the other of the tastings. And so question that I think Commissioner Brown has raised is there will be an increase, and what you're saying is that the increase will be insignificant, but we have no data that supports that other than kind of anecdotal stuff. And it would be better if we had some empirical data or at least some analysis, and then if there were some condition that has been applied in the past where people are paying their fair share for the regional improvements, that would be a reasonable condition, right?
We have a custom plan, a proposal here to do this. Don't you have the information, or don't the O'Neills have the information of what they're going to have to pay for these fees? Why do we have to wait for them to be looked up? I would think by this point, somebody would know. Somebody in the applicant side of the picture would know what they're faced with.
So I think the question that I'm hearing today is that we know that whenever we go in for building permits, we're going to have building permit fees that we're going to be required to pay. We're going to have some development impact fees that we pay based on the conversion of the admin to the restaurant, I assume, because it's a little bit of a change in commercial use. There is not, in this area, there is not an adopted road fee, as there is in the Templeton area, in the Pomo area. We have road fees, circulation plans. There is not an adopted road fee for this area. So, you know, the question is, we don't have a fee program in place in the county to contribute. And usually whenever you're looking at a road fee, your road fee is based on your peak hour trips, and your peak hour trips are the 4 to 6. When we are adding the after hours restaurant use and looking at 9, most of those trips, your dinner time trips are after peak hour trips. So even if we were contributing to a road fee, the peak hour trips would be less because it's more of an after peak hour trip, as Commissioner Legge indicated.
Well, my question to staff, though, is in Caltrans's correspondence to us, it says, local development fees are in place to address this concern and provide a funding plan to develop necessary road infrastructure. All projects should contribute a fair share amount to address potential traffic concerns through the locally adopted development impact programs. And my question originally was, is such a thing extant? Is there a regional fee program or city fee program or something that they're referring to that exists? I don't know.
In the city of Paso Robles, they do have a road fee, and they have a road fee based on use in the, and I believe it, if you're in this area, that contributes to their regional programming and planning. The city of Paso is doing a lot of planning with Caltrans along this corridor. I don't know how much coordination the county is doing, probably not a lot. I'll defer to Mr. Reading, but I know there is a lot of coordination with the city for plans along this corridor, most of it focused at Airport Road, to be honest.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
The previous use permit, when we expanded the special event program, there was no condition for the road fees there. As my memory recalls, when we did Tobin James, which is further down Highway 46, they had to, because there's no road fee like the Templeton road fees in place, they had to contact, when they did their building plans, they had to contact the city to determine their road fees at time of construction permits.
The city of Paso Robles?
Yeah.
Really?
So they were, the county was conditioned them to calculate their fees based on the formula in the city and then to pay that fee to the city?
I don't know what their formula was.
No, I'm just saying, that would have been the approach?
Just to make sure you contact the city and all appropriate fees have been paid. Usually I believe Tobin James did contact them ahead of time, and then you knew what their fees was going to be. So they were.
I wonder if you could put up the letter from the city to the county. That would be attachment 4, page 15 of 20. Can you put that up on the screen? I'm looking at the second paragraph that talks about traffic and city strongly urges the county to obtain existing plus project traffic data to demonstrate potential effects of this new use at Robert Hall Winery. You can contact the city engineer David Athey for further traffic data and information. I don't know if you can project that or not.
Yeah, have to go back to the
seems to speak directly to this issue.
As we're doing that, Karen Knopf, I did find the 2008 conditional use permit, and at that time it was expanding their event program, and the only condition was to add the left turn lane. There was no city road fees paid at that time. I just wanted to verify that. And maybe Jamie can help us. Robert Hall Winery, but Vina Robles Winery. I believe other projects in that area have paid into the city fee.
Yeah, Vina Robles, we had to, for that project, had to pay not only development impact fees to the county, they had to pay over $140,000 to the city for their impact fee. It was a substantial fee. We tried to work with the city to negotiate because the traffic fees for wineries, they were assessing us a trip generation right, like a high industrial use, which is not in line with what we see for our traffic trips for wineries. And we were unable to negotiate. And they ended up having to pay $140,000 to the city, which was a significant amount of money for a winery use.
Were you able to find that attachment?
She got it up.
Okay. So what is that second paragraph all about? I guess that's a question to staff.
It's all about what we're talking about.
It is.
Nothing in place that we can act upon. Because they say there's no impact from excessive traffic, and it also just tells about it being a sensitive intersection, and we can't demand fees be paid unless the county or city has a program that demands them when they get their building permit.
The city strongly urges the county to obtain existing plus project traffic data to demonstrate potential effects of this new use. So the city's concerned about it. And I some of us on the dais are concerned about it. So was anything, anything on behalf of the county done to address this city concern? I mean, that's their comment on this project.
We had the applicant contact the city and Caltrans and coordinate with Public Works to work out all the details and if they had any conditions to supply any conditions that they would like.
Could you say that again? What did you do about this paragraph?
When Public Works referral first came out, there was concerns from Caltrans, and there was this whole dialogue and emails going back and forth. So we had Public Works and the applicant work through any issues and concerns, and here we are today.
So everybody looked at it and eventually came to the conclusion there was no problem.
No significant impacts were identified. They never supplied any conditions, additional data, information. The applicant provided more detailed project description of how the restaurant use is captured through the winery tasting room. That data was supplied to them.
Are we privy to that? Do you have that or
no
details on that?
What's the first sentence say in that paragraph?
Well, I would note that Caltrans's complete response was, based on our review of the limited increase in potential trip generation, we don't see any concerns with this project as proposed, other than generally discouraging intensification of uses along this segment of the road until a local parallel route with the freeway is constructed. So it seems like they're generally okay with it, recognizing that there's problems at this intersection already, and there will be until there's an overcrossing undercrossing, which is going to be sometime in the very long distant future. Then it says, however, you know, there are these fees in place and people should contribute their fair share. And my question is simple. Is there a fee in place? And it sounds like there's not.
Sounds like there's not. I think Caltrans assumed, just because they're dealing with a city, that there was a fee structure in place, and there obviously is not, apparently.
Okay.
And we still have to remember that this will include another exit that might even reduce the traffic at this intersection. Well,
and I would, just to clarify, so we're all clear on the record, is that the other exit going east is open and operational with directional signage, lots of signage during the amphitheater activities, which are limited to up to 50 times a year. And we're working with, to the parallel routes comments and connection to some of the other uses, we have a permit in with Department of Fish and Wildlife right now for the water park to be able to provide a connection, a boardwalk connection from the east side, or I'd say the south side of 46. We have some parking there for the water park so people can park there and walk under the freeway. And the hope is, and the connection, and the city has some plans and has acquired some easements they're working on, and is to get that connection up to Mill Road. So it's not like it's something that no one's thinking about. There's plans underway. And, you know, getting back to when we applied, we received a letter from the city. The city had comments about the county requiring a traffic study. We contacted Public Works, and Public Works said, you know, it's a city maintained road and a state highway. We're kind of out of it. Go talk to Caltrans. We contacted Caltrans. We worked with Caltrans on similar projects up and down Highway 46 east and west. We provided them our project description, and they came back with the information that Commissioner Moltari just noted, is that it's a minor increase in recognizing that there are some regional transportation solutions that need to happen in the future. This project is kind of a blip on the radar.
It seems kind of we've dropped in between jurisdictions, and you know, I don't know what can be done about that. But reading, and it's too bad that that paragraph number two on this from the city's letter. It's too bad that we did not do what the city recommended. Apparently, we did not follow the recommendation.
And Commissioner Brown, on page 17 of the next page, the city does respond back again that the city raised a couple of questions regarding the gateway views and traffic. The views impacts have been addressed, and it was because the offices are in the rear. They're not sure that they can concur with the traffic discussions. However, they relied on the county as the lead agency, so they didn't strongly input any more emphasis on what they would like the county to do.
Okay, well, they didn't agree, they didn't disagree, I guess.
You know, I just feel that this is an impacted area. However, the uses that are going to be and the changes, the modifications on this are actually going to be an improvement to a certain degree. I think are going to be an improvement overall. As far as the impacts of additional usage, I really just go back to I would like to see the applicant put in some safety signage along their exits, you know, as reminders. I just work on construction sites, and I just feel like reminding people when they're driving out that this is a busy area. I don't know, however you want to say it, but just to be mindful of, you know, the road usage, lots of visitors on the road, et cetera. In addition, I'm going to put on my SLOCOG Citizens Transportation Committee hat and just say, you know, this is an example of why we need SB1 and why we need to have these transportation fees, because the city of Paso Robles and the county can address this. It needs to be addressed. And there is funding coming now to do these kinds of projects. So I don't know if I can promote something like that, but that's what that money's for. And hopefully that, you know, we can put in long-term plans to mitigate, because they shouldn't, for this addition, they shouldn't be levied enormous amount of fines for this kind of enhancement. On the other hand, yes, everything does have an impact of some sort. So that closed my comment there.
Yeah, I think I have one thing. On page 7 of the conditional use permit, it says this modification is justified because no new building construction is required and all use areas will occur in the existing building. Yet in two different places it says there's new construction required.
The restrooms?
Yes.
Yes. They could have come in today with TI improvements for restrooms.
I'm not opposed to the new condition. I'm just saying.
I wanted to include everything in there so you could get an overall picture of everything.
I just was pointing out that this.
That's a very good observation. Thank you, Commissioner. Chairman Harrison.
And then I had a question about the offset for the water. It says you should not consider the reduction of the removal of the grapes as an offset on page 5 of 20. And I just wondered why. It probably explains it, but
page 5 in the staff report?
Yeah, I think so.
Is the heading on page 5 site improvements and parking? Is that the page?
Well,
I'm looking at
Linda's letter would be the 1, 2, 3, third section there, or paragraph, where their Department of Agriculture is overlooking the water credit being based on the small amount of vineyard coming out and putting it on the removal of the fountain.
No, it's page 5 of 20.
Page 5 of 20. Department of Agriculture, Waste and Measures.
Attachment 4, sorry.
Well, may I ask a question of the applicants, maybe Mr. O'Neill? Where Robert Hall's house and the large vineyard there, did you purchase that also, did the company?
We did not purchase the house. The house is... Okay.
But the vineyard's what I care about.
The vineyards next door we purchased, that is correct, but the vineyards surrounding the house.
Okay.
Those were not purchased by us.
But you have a considerable amount of vineyard then that
surrounding the winery itself, yes,
okay.
That's correct.
So I would imagine, I'm trying to think through our ag department, and I think they probably thought it was that little readjustment of the parking was insignificant removal, being you have still a lot of vineyard there.
That would probably be a safe assumption, okay. But I'd defer it to Mr.
Thank
Jones.
You.
Yeah, in reading the ag department referral and the assessment was that minor amount of removal was insignificant. And we do have the water offset. We have heartburn with water offset. But the reason for the water offset is that our county policies will allow us to do a water offset for vineyard removal for the ag processing use. But whenever we're doing a visitor serving use, we cannot take credit for removal of ag to support the increase in water for visitor use. So we'll have to end up paying into the county water mitigation program, fee program for the Paso Robles Basin. So that's the reasoning behind that. We're always grudgingly having to agree to that condition, but that's just what we have to do.
Correct.
And just to clarify, that was condition number 13. It's the projects went conditioned per the Ag Department's recommendation.
I don't have anything else. Any other comments from staff? Okay. If we don't have any other comments, I'm open for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the conditional permit DRC 2017-72 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions in Exhibit B. I would like to make a comment about the traffic issue. It is disappointing that it was kind of done. It seems like a little ad hoc. And anything that adds traffic to Highway 46, I think, deserves scrutiny. And so there's an inadequacy here, I think, that we've uncovered as far as jurisdictional oversight and perhaps fees. So it is troubling. And I have seen left-hand turns on 46 result in accidents.
Is that all part of your motion? Because I want to second it, but not all that.
No, it's not. That was a side.
Okay.
But I couldn't
I'll
make
second.
The motion.
I'll
without.
Second the motion.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Would you call a roll, please?
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Don Ortiz-Legg?
Thank you, yes.
Commissioner Pasari?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. Thank you. Our next item of business.
Hearing item Number five is a hearing to consider a request by Richard Loud for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2016-00134, Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Holly Phipps.
Okay, here we go. This one will be quite different from what you just have just went through. So today we have a request by Richard Loud for a conditional use permit to allow the construction of a 2,700-square-foot building to be used as a wine processing facility, including the following use areas. On the first floor, a 390-square-foot wine processing and fermentation area and storage area, a 100-square-foot laboratory, and a 410-square-foot personal workshop area. On the second floor, a 900-square-foot barrel storage, case goods storage area, and 900-square-foot water recycle area. The applicant is also requesting modification to setback standards. These modifications can be modified through a minor use permit, but today we're before you as a conditional use permit because the project is requesting a winery that is zoned in residential rural. The findings to determine that that we can modify this request is if it meets finding number two in our land use ordinance, the property fronts an arterial collector road. This project has fronts Collector Road, Hog Canyon Road. The proposed project is located at 6235 Buckhorn Ridge, approximately 3.5 miles northeast of City of Paso Robles. The proposed project is located within the residential rural land use category and in the El Pomar, Australia sub-area of the North County Planning Area. Similar projects located in the agricultural land use category would not be seen before you. They would be a minor use permit and would be heard at the planning department hearing officer level, staff level. Quick aerial showing the location of the project site, and you can see the ag properties over here larger and the rural areas, residential rural lots on this side. Another more detailed aerial, the project site would be in this location here. We have the building here that would be set in. It'd be located north the northeastern part of the property. So Mr. Loud has provided us with a cut plan of his building, the basement level, and what you'd see from above. And there would be a pad area outside of this building. He's hoping that he could have a basement over here, but after talking with CAL FIRE and the amount of fire suppression system, he might reduce that back to just this story here. Mr. Loud took this, and we're looking east. The stakes are highest on the hill are the back of the building. So the back of the building would be here. The center stakes is the front of the building. And then these stakes here would be where the pad area would go. This photo here demonstrates the change in elevation. Again, looking up the hill. And then now we're looking south at the project location. With that, staff is recommending approval of a conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Staff is available for question, and Mr. Lout is here from Alaska to help answer any other questions you may have.
Does any staff or commission have any questions of staff?
I just have one. I'm presuming in looking at that, and I'm familiar with this piece of property. I've been there before he owned it, I think. I'm assuming it's the setback is because of the steepness. The further back you get, it gets steeper. Is that correct?
He walked the property, and he thought that would just be a really good location because of the building location, less impacts, and putting it in that location.
Just for clarification, so the first floor is actually just going to be excavated into the side of the hill. Is that right? We're going to
the basement, yes.
The basement.
So that's why the first floor is smaller than the second floor.
Well, the basement could be extended underneath the pad area, but I don't know if he's going that way. He can just let you know his discussions with CAL FIRE.
And then just to be clear, a tasting room is not included.
Is that correct? He is not requesting tasting, no special events, and no industry-wide events. He just purely wants to
produce wine. When we get to it, in some of the findings, we might want to just adjust them a little because there's references to tasting rooms, and we might want to just take them out. Thanks.
Any other questions of staff? Does the applicant have anything they'd like to comment? If you'd like to come and just state your name and...
Good morning. I'm Richard Loud, and I own 6235 Buckhorn Ridge, along with my wife, Marcy. And we purchased the property in 2013 with the plan of having a small vineyard and making wine and growing some olive trees. We plan to retire in this area where we currently live in Alaska. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. So that's kind of what we're working forward. Of course, when we purchased the property, we thought we could just plant and build stuff, being from Alaska, and have since found regulations and requirements and everything. So this is just the first step in getting the permit, and basically wanted to make sure that this was all going to be possible before I got too carried away with it. But once we get approval for the conditional use permit, then I'll get the start working on the architectural design of the building. But that's pretty much the architectural design. I just need a California architect to stamp my stuff for me so that we can continue forward. Is there any other questions?
I have one. I assume you've talked to your neighbors and they're okay with this.
Yes, we actually know our neighbors very well. Actually better than any of our neighbors in Alaska. They seem to be very friendly down here. But we're at our neighbor's house quite often, and they watch our house and take care of all our stuff for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, no one has voiced any objection to it. And it is I don't know if you noticed from the elevations, it's a swale. Mm-hmm. And our house is actually on the ridge, so it'll be a swale behind. And the reason that I put it back in to the hill a little bit, mm-hmm. is that it won't be visible from the neighbor up above, from Tony, mm-hmm. lives up above, and he won't be able to see the building. So it'll only be visible to two of our neighbors on the side, so it won't block any views.
I guess I just had one other question. Do you how much truck traffic would you anticipate in terms of bringing grapes to your property or removing finished wine from the property?
There really won't be any impact in traffic more than our normal traffic that we use in the road.
All right, thank you.
Do you have grapes growing there now?
We have some, yes. Yes. I'd like to plant more.
So you'll be using your own grapes then?
I'll be using the plan is to use my own grapes. I'm not a very good grape farmer, so possibly I may need to buy some grapes. Actually, the deer have been doing my pruning for me. So
yeah, there. I can believe that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Staff would like to make a modification? Finding E, page... 1 of 1, attachment 1. You're correct. I copied and pasted an old finding. I apologize for that.
I didn't hear you. Would you say it again?
I would like to make a modification to attachment 1, page 1 of 1, finding E. The proposed project or use will not be inconsistent with the character of the immediate neighborhood or contrary to its early development, because the winery facility is similar to and will not conflict with surrounding lands and uses. So I'm deleting storage and tasting room.
Okay.
You sure you want to take out storage?
Sure, yeah, storage.
Okay.
He's got to age his wine.
Right. Winery/storage facility.
Yeah.
And then in attachment 2, on condition 2, it might be good to put this conditional use permit does not authorize any tasting room, winery, special events, or industry, just to be clear.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Karen, I just had one comment just for your information. Wineries is one of the few uses in the ordinance that allows a pre-notification. So before applicant even applies for a winery, they have to notify their neighbors within 1,000 feet, and it's worked really well because people are notified well in advance. Any other project, you're noticed for this hearing, and so you don't have an opportunity to weigh in on the project. So it's really, it's been a really good system.
So is he going to be allowed to bring grapes in from somewhere else, or some? I know that some wineries can only process grapes made on, grown on site.
Yes, you're correct. Some wineries did have that restrictions in their conditions when they were special road conditions or public works was concerned about, like on Caller Canyon, there was one out there that was restricted to on-site processing of grapes only, but nothing, no significant impacts were identified, and it's such a small amount that he would be producing that we did not condition this project for that.
It's fine with me. I just was...
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, I'm going to open it for public comment, but seeing that there's no public here, I'm also going to close it for public comment. And I'm going to ask for a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think it's in my area. I'd like to approve conditional use permit DRC 2016-134 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes.
And did we catch that those, the finding and the condition were modified? Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
And then I need a motion to take everything into the record.
I move to take all documents into testimony and record.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.